ultimately end in the acquisition of knowledge. So Sri Krishna himself changes the very definition of yajna, although some of the statements which are made in the third chapter may give an indication as though Sri Krishna refers to the Vedic type of idea which had become orthodox idea. But when you come to the fourth chapter, where he really defines further the idea of yajna, the whole situation changes. So when Sri Krishna himself takes the liberty of changing the idea of yajna, which was prevalent at that time, in his own teaching, it indicates to us that fundamentally, whenever you want to interpret words of this kind, which had a temporary and temporal significance, you should go back to the fundamental truths and define words in the terms which are now valid at the present stage. And then from that point of view, in fact, Sri Aurobindo has written 2-3 chapters in the Essays on the Gita on this very question of sacrifice. Works of sacrifice, load of sacrifice. These are 2-3 chapters that Sri Aurobindo has written on the Essays on the Gita. And there he has explained in detail as to what exactly was the meaning of yajna even in the Vedic texts. Although at one time the word yajna did mean sacrifice in the form of oblations to fire externally, even in the Veda the word sacrifice did not mean that. There was an esoteric side and secret side and occult side of sacrifice. And there it only meant offering of oneself. It is not oblation in the fire, but oblation of oneself to the Supreme Divine. And this is the sense in which ultimately we find explained by Sri Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And then in his own Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo explains the principle of sacrifice in this real sense of the term, which is of eternal spiritual value. Because fundamentally, sacrifice really means offering of oneself to the Divine totally. This is one example as to how, when you interpret the present scripture, words of this kind you may come across, and if you want to interpret, and when there is a doubt about it, Sri Aurobindo says, you go back to the fundamental spiritual truth, which can be verified in experience, and which is today translatable in the terms of today. That is how you should interpret. Another example Sri Aurobindo has given is that of the concept of... You want something? This is the concept of the four castes, of which Sri Krishna speaks sometimes in the Bhagavad Gita. Like the four castes of four varnas were created by me. And again towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita he speaks of the works of Brahmin, works of Kshatriya, works of Shudra, works of Vaishya. So here again the question might arise, while interpreting the Bhagavad Gita, is it true that the caste system is prescribed by the Gita? If caste system was created by me, as Sri Krishna says, then does it mean that the Bhagavad Gita preaches that you should now resurrect the caste system, even though broken now to a great extent? If Sri Krishna himself has created four castes, how can you now break them? So even if they are broken, why should you not revive them? So this is one of the very important questions which can be raised in regard to the teaching of the Gita. And one who takes the Bhagavad Gita literally चातुर्वर्ण्यम सृष्टम मया कर्म गुण कर्म विभाग. सो रीडिंग दिस स्टेटमेंट दैट श्री कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ हैड मेड दिस फोरकास्ट एंड देन टुवर्ड्स द एंड ही डिस्क्राइब्स द वेरियस फंक्शंस ऑफ डिफरेंट कास्ट. डस इट नॉट मीन दैट Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we should not break the caste system. On the contrary, even the present Gurukul system should be resurrected. Now here also Sri Aurobindo says that this is a concept which we need to understand in the spiritual meaning of the word. And that meaning actually Sri Krishna explains in that very word itself. He has created four varnas, chaturvarnyam srishtam maya, but guna karma vibhagashah. According to the guna and karma, it is not as it is now. By birth an individual is born in a family, therefore he belongs to that particular caste. An individual is to be judged to belong to one or the other depending upon his guna and karma. What is his quality and what is his natural mode of action? It is on that basis that you have to decide the four castes. So while there is a truth of four castes, and it can even be said that since Bhagavad Gita has spoken of these four castes, there is no harm in resurrecting, provided you go back to the original concept which is given there, guna karma vibhagashah. Not only that, but you go still deeper, as Sri Krishna himself goes deeper and deeper into the concept of swadharma and swabhava. Because that also is a part of Bhagavad Gita's teaching. So you should take into account what is the nature of swabhava and swadharma. That would mean that actually speaking, individuals are not only divided into four castes, but each individual is a category by himself because of his swabhava and swadharma. This is how Vivekananda, when he explained the multiplicity of religions, he said that actually in an ideal state, every individual should have his own religion. Not that you belong to this religion or that religion or that religion, dividing mankind into five or six groups of religions which are today alive in a major manner. But each individual should have his own religion. Because if swabhava and swadharma is insisted upon, as in the Gita, that is the most important element, then even the idea of dharma belonging to particular varna takes a different meaning. That in spite of that particular dharma that you might have belonged, because you belong to a particular group, you have still a deeper dharma which applies to you as an individual. So that also has to be seen. Sri Krishna himself, who was a kshatriya, Arjuna was a kshatriya, therefore in a certain sense you might say that both were kshatriya by guna karma, and therefore they had a certain duty following from this particular belongingness to a particular group. Yet, while Sri Krishna teaches Arjuna to fight with weapons, as far as he himself is concerned, he doesn't prescribe that rule to himself. He has declared that he will not use any weapon at all in the battle.